Welcome, everyone, to our training camp preview special here at CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're now just hours away from the start of the 2013 Packers football season. Action gets underway at 8:20 p.m. Central Time tomorrow at Ray Nitschke Field with practice open to the public. Tonight, we'll be breaking down the team position by position. I'm joined tonight by Wes Hodkowitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette and Cheesehead TV founder Aaron Nagler, also of BleacherReport.com. Aaron, to give a little introduction here, that for those people who maybe just know you, that this audience might just know you from Cheesehead TV, tell them what you do at your day job now.
It's about the It's a pretty ridiculous job, and I'm really happy to have it.
Thanks a lot. Wes Hodkowitz, he's beginning his second season on the Packers beat at the Green Bay Press Gazette. Wes, can you give us a little idea of what it was like to work your first season on the Packers beat and now what you've learned going into your second year?
Yeah, it's been pretty incredible, Brian. First off, I appreciate you guys having me on. A little bit off. Video technical troubles, but I'm glad we were able to be here for it. This first year at the Press Gazette on the Packer beat, I've obviously been working back there since six. I did a lot of preps for 6 years and really enjoyed my first on the Packers beat. Learned a lot of good people on that beat, so a lot of good things to learn. Looking forward to year two. Hopefully we can come back and, you know, hopefully do some nice things and put out some content that's pretty readable.
Very good. Well, we're glad to have you joining us, folks. We're going to go run through the entire Packers roster position by position. I'm going to ask two questions. I'm going to start with the offense by asking Aaron a question and then a second one for Wes, and then we'll flip-flop when we get to the defense. Wes gets the first question, Aaron gets the second, and let's kick it off with the quarterback, the heart of the team, and Aaron, so I'll start with you. I'm not sure there's a whole lot we got to break down in terms of Aaron Rodgers being the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. He's pretty much got the job set in stone. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But right now, the question I have for you that is kind of timely is, you know, with this recent news regarding Aaron Rodgers' friend Ryan Braun, his business partner Ryan Braun, this semi kind of feud with Greg Jennings going on, is there going to be any sort of distraction to Aaron Rodgers at the start of training camp with these issues?
No, I mean, come on. This is the guy, if he can put up with what he put up with in the summer of 08 when the whole Brett Favre saga was going on, I mean, this is like water off a duck's back. I mean, yes, it's going to be a lot of fun hearing him talk about the whole Ryan Braun thing, but, you know, week one in San Francisco, the moment he takes a snap, this is all going to be forgotten. The whole thing about Braun, the whole thing about Jennings, and yeah, obviously the 2 weeks leading up to the Vikings games, we're going to hear a bunch about it. But let's face it, Aaron Rodgers thrives on this kind of thing. He loves when people come at him so that he can turn around and prove them all wrong. So, you know, please, by all means, as a Packer fan, please, yes, please keep prodding Rodgers, because it's only going to drive him to better and greater and newer wonderful heights.
Wes, seeing as we know who's got the number one quarterback job under wraps, perhaps the better discussion in terms of the position might be who wins the number two job. Is it Graham Harrell? Is it B.J. Coleman? Who do you think is going to come away with the backup clip holder job?
Well, the onus, as I've been kind of saying here for the last couple of months, the onus is going to be on B.J. Coleman to come in and show that he can really take that spot and run with it. Right now, though, I mean, I think it's Graham Harrell's spot to lose. You look at it, he's still the more polished product. He's only a second-year player, but this is going to be his fourth camp he's been in with the Packers. And all that experience, all that time working with Mike Clemens, or with Mike Clemens, wow, I'm on a run today. Tom Clemens, you know, and also look at that whole team, Mike McCarthy. He's had a lot of time to work with those guys, and there's a lot of experience to be had. Yes, B.J. Coleman is the more polished. He has probably the bigger upside. He has more prototypical size, arm strength. But at the end of the day, Graham Harrell's the guy that right now it's going to be his job to lose. One thing I thought was interesting, though, guys, is the fact Matt Brown, he got cut, and a lot of people are going to kind of throw that off to the side. Mike McCarthy kind of alluded today, though, that he would have liked to have four quarterbacks. And the reason I think that's important is if BJ Coleman, by any stretch of the imagination, actually does beat out Graham Harrell for that job, Harrell doesn't have any more time left on the practice squad. They're going to have to go find a guy because it's very unlikely that they're going to be carrying three quarterbacks on the active roster. So they're going to have to go out and find a guy, whether it is Matt Brown, dare I say Jordan Rodgers, somebody that's going to be able to be out there on the practice squad. So that's the only reason I thought that was a really interesting thing, because although the fourth quarterback isn't going to get a lot of snaps, he is going to get a chance to learn that playbook. And if BJ Coleman would happen to beat Graham Harrell for that job, they're going to have to find a guy to be the number three quarterback.
That is a good point. That certainly, I don't think they were anticipating this injury from Matt Brown, which I think, if I heard correctly, just happened like the past week. So I think this one kind of caught them by surprise. And maybe, with a couple roster spots open, maybe they do eventually add a guy. But let's move along to the running back position. Aaron, there's a lot of new rookies in town at the running back position. Eddie Lacy coming in the second round. Jonathan Franklin coming in the fourth round. Some of the most excitement, rejuvenation to this position in a long time in Green Bay. Who comes away with the starting job?
My boy DeJuan Harris, we all know this. We need to stop talking about these rookies who are going to be wonderful in their day, but my boy DeJuan is going to take it. No, all right, in all seriousness, I have been pimping DeJuan Harris all summer because I think he is fantastic. I think what he put on tape at the end of last year was extremely impressive. But now he's got some very stiff competition in Lacy and Franklin, who are two really dynamite backs. I'll say this. I really think it will kind of be a split between Lacy and Harris at first. I think Franklin will work himself in on passing downs at first if his pass pro is up to snuff. It's going to be a great battle to watch throughout training camp and throughout the preseason. I know people think it's going to be kind of Lacy as the lead back, and traditionally that probably makes the most sense, but do not count out DeJuan Harris. I'm telling you, what he put on film last year was pretty impressive, and I would not be surprised to see him in the mix week one against the 49ers.
Wes, the battle at running back is a good one in terms of roster spots up for grabs. You got these rookies coming in. You've got three veterans in DeJuan Harris, Alex Green, James Starks. You got undrafted rookie Angelo Pease. You've got the fullbacks. Who gets cut? That's not all these guys are going to make the final cut. Who's the odd man out, Wes?
Yeah, Brian. And then now I know the stuff has come out now saying that, Alex Green is probably the guy that has more value if they're looking to trade a guy. If you can trade Alex Green, though, I think that James Starks is going to be the odd guy out. You already had the report from NFL Network earlier this year saying that the Packers put him on the trading block. And the fact of the matter is, guys, he gave the Packer fans some great memories in 2010 and 2011. But at the end of the day, you got to be accountable and you have to be on the field. And as James Starks has been in stretches, you can't escape that injury bug. You look at Alex Green, he's coming off that ACL injury. He's still only in his third NFL season. I think he gets the benefit of the doubt and gets the fourth spot. If I was picking the roster today, I just think it's going to take one whale of a camp for James Starks to keep that spot. It's been 3 years now. I think he's only played 22 of a possible 48 games. That's a lot of time. And at the end of the day, I think there's so many nice faces there. And I agree with Aaron. You have DeJuan Harris. The way DeJuan Harris played last year, the jolt he gave that offense. I think he's the guy you have to build around right now and incorporate Lacy and Franklin and see what happens with Green. But as far as Starks is concerned, as of right now, I think he's the odd guy out.
Let's take a look at the wide receiver position in Green Bay. Aaron, Randall Cobb is kind of this up-and-coming commodity. He's been speculated to catch 100 footballs this upcoming season by his own teammates in the media. Do you think Randall Cobb will be the number one target for Aaron Rodgers this year, and can he catch 100 passes?
The answer to both of those questions is yes, but that's if you read them both very literally. Yes, he will be the number one target, and yes, he can catch 100 footballs this year. I don't think he does, though. There are just way too many outlets for Rodgers in this offense, be it at the wide receiver position, at the tight end position, at the running back position. There's just, how many times have we seen a game where halfway through the third quarter, you see some graphic that says has completed passes to seven different receivers today, or eight, nine, 10, even 11 different receivers today. So I just think the offense is too multiple for a guy to get 100 catches. The days of Sterling Sharp have come and gone. We're not feeding one guy in this offense. Although I will say this, we saw last year how many times, Rodgers, when things break down, kind of found him. I mean, he became what JerMichael Finley used to be when he's scrambling around looking downfield, always seemed to find Randall Cobb. So is there a chance he approaches the 100 reception mark? Absolutely. Do I think that's going to happen? To me, it's just doubtful because of all the weapons in this offense.
Wes, we spend a lot of time talking about Randall Cobb here, and that's not to minimize the contributions of Jordy Nelson and James Jones, but those guys got their roster spots locked up. I want to know from you, beyond the top three wide receivers, who's going to be the number four, the number five, maybe even the number six guy at the wide receiver position in Green Bay as training camp opens, and we're taking a look at these guys a little bit further down the depth chart.
Well, it's a great question, Brian. And if you look at it, I mean, we really didn't get a chance to see these rookies very much as far as the ones that the Packers actually drafted. I think Charles Johnson was out there for one practice. What I saw from him, though, in the rookie orientation, I was really impressed with to expect of him so far. And then you have guys like Miles White, who I thought was pretty impressive in stretches. Tyrone Walker, I think, has some stuff that you like about him. Maybe like Jared Boykin has that ability to kind of come in and surprise people this year. I still think Boykin is going to be the number four, though, at this point in time. If he shows that he can stay. It's just so many things I like of him. Yeah, he doesn't have the speed you really look for, but he has okay size, and I thought he showed a lot of grit, in that game against Minnesota. That play would have been nullified. The Packers would have had a first down anyway, but he made a very big catch
That
there
fourth
against the
down
Bucks.
catch. I just watched that game the other day. That's a basically on that play, and he still makes the catch.
Absolutely. It looked like, I mean, the guy basically almost had a backbreaker done to him, and he still came up with it, and that was a big ball for them at that time. And I thought it gave him some momentum, too. So, that being said, I think he's going to be in there, and I think a guy like Jeremy Ross is going to have a chance to not only show that he can be an answer on the kickoff and punt returns, but have a chance to actually show he can also be a receiving threat. It's going to be a fun battle to watch. Last year, it was kind of disappointing what happened with the youngsters and not being able to really supplant Donald Driver, because a lot of people rip on Driver, but I didn't think really DeAndre Burrell or Torrey Gurley outplayed him last year. With that many roster spots out there, I think it's going to be interesting to see three jobs available.
How crazy is it, real quick, how crazy is it? Week 17, fourth and one, playoff seeding online. Rodgers goes to Boykin on that play. How nuts
Absolutely.
is that? It's nuts to me, but it's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, and that's what you like about undrafted rookies. I mean, Boykin did it the hard way, too. I mean, got cut right away with the Jaguars, comes in on a tryout and earned his spot. And like I said, if he could stay healthy, I really like them guys to be able to, get another spot this year.
Sticking with the kind of the receivers in general, but a different position in tight ends. Aaron, JerMichael Finley, your obvious starter at the position, a kind of guy who catches a lot of flack from fans in Green Bay. But tell me, is he in store for a career year, also entering a contract year in 2013?
God, I hope so. Just so he shuts up all these people who rip on him all the time. I mean, yeah, is he, if you go by, say, the last six games of last year, yeah, he absolutely is. But we've been down this road before with JerMichael Finley, where we've entered a season thinking he's going to put up monster numbers, and he drops half the passes thrown to him and just. Last year when Bob McKinn's article came out saying that they had decided to part ways with him at the end of the year, that was the turning point in his season. And you just wonder, and I speculated at the time, and you just wonder if that was kind of leaked intentionally to try and like let. But without question, after that article came out, his play turned around. I mean, he was a completely different the second half of the year. Like I said, especially those last six games, if he keeps his head on straight, keeps his nose to the grindstone, just eliminates all the distractions off the field, of which he seems to always find a way to create one. But if he can just do what he did that last, 2 months of the season and the playoffs, yes, he was absolutely in for a career year.
Wes, the behind JerMichael Finley, we got a bunch of guys vying for playing time. I think one of the guys that you're kind of looking at to be a contributor this year, or people are hoping will be a contributor, is DJ Williams. He's kind of teased for about two straight years now. Is this the year DJ Williams kind of breaks out and becomes a consistent contributor in the Packers offense?
It has to be, Brian. It really does. And you know, DJ Williams has had two really solid camps, but he's going to need a third one, I think. You know, with Andrew Corliss, I don't know if you guys got a chance to see him at all, but he looked phenomenal during the OTAs. And I think he's going to be a guy, you know, you look at it, he's the guy that he projects is probably their most well-rounded tight end. He's done it all. He's been a receiver. He's been a blocker. And if he shows that he can keep that going, it's going to be tough for DJ Williams to get on the field and earn a spot on this roster. There's seven guys on this team right now, and I think you can look at all of them and actually see something you really like. But DJ Williams, considering he was brought in to be a receiving threat, I think he might have nine career catches to his name right now. This has to be a big year, and I know I talked to him back during OTAs. He said, it's put up or shut up, and he needs to do it. You know, they brought him in to be a receiving tight end, not to be a guy that's going to be a backup for John Kuhn at fullback. It's going to be a big year for him, and it's going to be a big camp as well.
Is real quickly, is Corliss where was he wearing a brace at all during OTAs?
I didn't see a brace, Aaron. I think he still might have that sleeve on his leg like he did during O, or I should say after he came off the PUP. But seeing the difference in him, guys, I remember when he came off PUP last year, you're like, wow, that he didn't look good at all. He had that constant swelling. He looked very explosive so far. Let's see if that translates now during training camp. You guys have seen it before. I mean, Andrew Corliss, he has some serious
he
things
was on
really like.
He was on his way, man. He was on his way until that Giants game.
Folks, we're having a couple audio issues now and again here, a couple hiccups along the way. They don't seem to be too major, but thanks for sticking with us as we work through this. We'll kind of continue here along the offensive line. Aaron, big changes along the offensive line in Green Bay. Brian Bulaga and Josh Sinn moving to the left side. TJ Lang moving to the right side. There's kind of some uncertainty who might be the right tackle, but tell me about these changes, especially, you know, the guys moving from the right to the left. How is this going to work out in Green Bay this year?
You know, man, I gotta say, I was kind of shocked when the news broke that they were doing this, and I've been trying to like run wrap my head around it leading up to training camp here, and I'm not real sure. I mean, I can't say I'm really excited about it. I mean, I think Brian Bulaga is a fantastic right tackle. I have no feel for how he'll fare at left tackle. The one place he's really struggled in his career is with speed off the edge. And obviously we all know traditionally, you know, that right end or that right outside linebacker just is, you know, designed to go after, you know, team's best pass blocker. And, you know, we've seen it. He really struggled against Bruce Irvin. He really struggled against Cliff Avril 2 years ago in Detroit. People with a quick first step really give him fits. So, you know, I'm all for putting your best players in their, you know, the best position, and you want to protect Rodgers' blind side. But, you know, man, I don't know. I want to see it on the field before I'm ready to say, yeah, obviously you need to put these guys over on the left. And, you know, Sitton and Lang, for as much as people talk about how well or how, you know, how, what a good player Josh Sitton is, and he is when he is on, he had some really rough games last year. And I'm not so sure that just the switching him to the left side is really makes all that difference, because there were games when he was completely walked back into Rodgers' lap last year. And you never saw that in 2011. So he's really got to bounce back to make this switch, you know, kind of make McCarthy look smart. Because there were way too many games last year where both he and Lang, and obviously Jeff Saturday, were just, you know, basically nullified by the interior defensive linemen from opposing teams. I think this whole offensive line has a lot of work to do, and it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out.
I've always wondered myself, why didn't they make this move a year ago? There's no reason. It's like the same cast of characters. Why didn't they do this when all these guys were 1 year younger? But that's
Mm.
beside the point. Wes, the right tackle position is one of those gigs up for grabs in Green Bay. There's a lot of competitors. There's Marshall Newhouse was your starting left tackle last year. There's Don Barclay, who ended the year as the starting right tackle. If Derek Sherrod is healthy, throw him in the mix. These rookies as well. Wes, who comes away with the right tackle job?
It's a great question, Brian. It's going to be the biggest one I think I'm going to be following in camp. The safe bet would be to say Marshall Newhouse, and he has the most experience. He's extremely durable, did not miss a snap last year. And you know what? He's not perfect. He's not really, he's not going to be an extraordinary tackle, but he's going to be consistent. The one I would like to see do it, though, is Don Barclay. I think
Yes,
he's a gritty kid.
correct.
Yeah, and the thing that I think a lot of people didn't give a lot of credit for last year is once Don Barclay came into the game, they could run the football to the right side. And
Yes.
I think he's the kind of kid Mike McCarthy said today, they're looking to get to the second level. And I think, it's a little bit more out of the box. I think Don's gonna have to actually earn that spot. But I think if you really do give him a chance, when they moved Brian Bulaga to the left side of the line, I thought that opened up a great opportunity for him to really solidify himself in that right tackle spot, because he embodies everything you look for in an undrafted guy. And he played 16 games last year. He was the only offensive rookie to do that. There's a lot to like about Don Barclay. And I want to throw in one more thing too. I wouldn't count out Derek Sherrod. There is some stuff I've heard now too that, potentially maybe he could be back. And if you look at it a year and a half later, he probably needs to be back to keep in this, keep in the good graces of this team. But I've been hearing, within this organization that they've been saying soon for a long time. I know James Campen's been telling us that, but within the organization too, it's the same feel that it's soon. It's soon. Now, is he going to be in a position a year and a half later to beat out Don Barclay or Marshall Newhouse for a job? I don't know. I don't think so. But he might be back on this roster. So my pick right now, if you want to go with the safe bet, it's Marshall Newhouse. But I think if you want to go with maybe the right choice, it's Don Barclay.
It's got to be Barclay. I mean, think about it. Newhouse really improved his pass pro kind of the last month and a half last year. I mean, he was shaky as we've kind of gotten to know him over the last 2 years. Starting out, really solidified his pass pro, but he is a disaster in the running game. I
Yeah.
mean, absolutely gets no movement, can't seal the. I mean, just
I
nothing.
agree.
And
Yeah.
Barclay, you see him. He's more than serviceable in the run game, and though he does get beat occasionally off the edge in pass pro, he rarely gets beat the same way twice in a game.
Right.
Like
Absolutely.
you see guys like beat him off the edge and they try it again and he never gets beat the same way. Like he is really quick to adjust. So I think it's gotta be Barclay. If they're serious about running the football, and I know that's an every year thing, but if they're serious about they've drafted these two backs, they've switched their line around, they want to put the best players in the best position to succeed, it's gotta be Barclay at right tackle.
Yeah, and I know, guys, you mentioned last year they did struggle to run the ball, but I don't care if you had, I don't know, Barry Sanders back there. If you were running to the left side last year, there's going to be no luck,
It was
especially
game
if you're going
over.
off tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I know this is the other thing. I kind of mentioned it with the interior of the line. They supposedly want to run more power. You know, we've heard this off and on for years. But Sitton and Lang are not power guards, not in the running game. I mean,
Right.
they are perfect for the zone blocking system. And I know Packer fans are sick to death of those words, but they are great zone blocking guards. They are not. They every time they tried to go power or man, maybe not every time. That's an exaggeration, obviously. But whenever they tried to go man or an angle block, I mean, these guys just got walked back by bigger defensive ends. So to me, that's why you got to put Barclay in there to get some of that nastiness, some of that. If you really want to get power and you really want to run the ball, it's got to be Barclay.
I just might add that it was kind of a surprise that Derek Sherrod had a second surgery on his leg, as it was revealed by Mike McCarthy during the NFL draft, and that kind of set his timetable for return back a little bit. But we'll see here as training camp starts if he's on his road to recovery. We're going to throw the first question out on the defensive side of the football now to Wes, and work our way backwards here. Wes, on the defensive line, the Packers got a new addition in the first round, Dayton Jones. Going to be a lot of attention on him just because of where he was picked in the draft. But what kind of impact can he have in his rookie year in the NFL?
Well, I think he got a bigger impact than Jarrell Worthy did, if that answers anything. No disrespect to Jarrell. He's a nice kid. But, I mean, dear. This is the number one reason why, if you guys go back to April, I said, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I said they needed to draft Dayton Jones. And the reason they needed to do that was because they fooled around with Mike Neal in the second round. They fooled around with Jarrell Worthy. They needed to go find a first-round defensive lineman who could collapse the pocket and apply some pressure and do it consistently. And the fact that he had the experience coming out of UCLA with a system that's very similar to Dom Capers, you have to remember, a lot of these times you hear Kevin Green, you hear Dom Capers talk about it, they have to project a lot of these guys. They don't get to see them run their system in college. They have to try to guess how they're going to fit into it. Well, they didn't have to do that with Dayton Jones. And I know there were some teams, you obviously saw the board from Dallas who had him first going in the third round, but I thought he was a perfect fit for what the Packers want to do, and I think he's going to be a guy that is really going to really increase the level of play for all those defensive linemen. Obviously, you know, this is only – we're not even at training camp yet, but I think if I'm a Packer fan, there's a lot of reasons to be excited about what he can bring to the table and what he can do to help that pass rush, whether it's just, you know, with Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, whoever it may be. I think he's going to be a difference maker, especially in those sub-packages rushing inside.
Aaron, you know, we could sit here and we can talk about the other guys on the defensive line, B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett. There's a whole cast of them there, many more than the two they typically use.
Yeah, but most of them have blocked me on Twitter, so let's not.
Okay, but what I do want to know from you, one guy who is of particular interest is Johnny Jolly, coming off a three-year suspension. Does Johnny Jolly have what it takes to win a roster spot on this team this year?
You know, it's impossible to say just because no one's seen him on a football field for how long, but I will say this. If there is a team that could use a guy who is capable of getting in there and just, you know, being a roadblock in the run game, it's the Packers defense. It's this defensive line. Their Worthy is out, and you know they have been susceptible to a lot of different things, be it, you know, the power running of Adrian Peterson or the, you know, the fleet of foot Colin Kaepernick. So yeah, is Jolly capable? Only Johnny Jolly can answer that question, and he will do so beginning tomorrow. Could the Packers use even a hint of what he used to be? Absolutely.
I just want to jump in with one thing, guys. If he is going to be impactful, and I think he has a chance to, there's a lot of bodies there. They returned everybody from the defensive line, with the exception of maybe Worthy if he misses the beginning of the season or the whole, you know, the entire season, depending how it works out. He is going to have to drop some pounds, though. He said he was at about 340. He probably maybe was closer to 340? Yeah, somewhere I would guess he was maybe closer to 350. He's going to have to drop some of that weight. He's going to have to get back in that football shape. And who knows, you know, he may come back tomorrow and look great. But the one nice thing about the Green Bay Packers is they're really going to give him a chance to really show that he can play again. You heard the reports that maybe they were a little apprehensive about it, you know, right around the time he got reinstated. But you have to give him credit and some points for giving him a chance to come back there and try earning his job back. It's a pretty good story if he can do it.
I think it's notable that five defensive linemen enter their contract season this year, so there will be a lot of motivation for these guys to play well for the Packers this year, because an upcoming payday might depend on it. But we'll turn our attention to the linebackers now. Clay Matthews signed a new contract this offseason that made him the highest paid linebacker in the NFL. But Wes, as far as the Packers are concerned, he's pretty much a sure thing. It's the guy opposite him that the Packers will be looking for production from. Is Nick Perry the answer, and can he take pressure off Clay Matthews?
Pete Doherty and I have gone back and forth about this. Pete is probably one of the few that really is he's really questioning whether or not he can be an outside linebacker. Just based on his makeup, would they be better off adding 25 pounds, 20 pounds to him and letting him play on the line? I still think it's worth a shot, and I think they saw something in him that can really translate at this level. He said he did that surgery. He's feeling pretty good from it. He obviously was a full participant during OTAs and mini camps. From what he said, I think he told Jason Wilde this, that he's going to keep that protect cast on, maybe not an actual cast, but some kind of protector there. Obviously, he uses that bull rush as much as he does. He's going to want to be sure that that's okay, and he's not going to be re-injuring it. But based on what happened last year with Eric Walden, I really don't see how he could. Not that Eric Walden was bad, but I mean, I think he's going to be an upgrade, and I think he's going to be a guy that can collapse the pocket and is going to be able to apply some pressure. Now, when he has to drop back, read defenses, I think that's going to be a big test for him. But we're only 6 games into this thing. I think it's way too soon to give up. And based on the moves they made, the Packers are confident that he's going to be a guy that he isn't going to need Eric Walden behind him to shadow him this year. He's ready for, to be at defense.
That's the outside linebacker position. Aaron, on the inside linebacker side, was letting Desmond Bishop go this offseason the right call?
Oh, man. I don't know. How can you answer that? I don't know. It's a really tricky one because who know? I mean, who other than the people inside of 1265 Lombardi have the information in front of them that led to this call being made? That's to me, like, I understand why fans got upset when it happened, and I understand the calls for, well, why not bring him into camp? Why not see what he has left with the pads on, see what's going on there, and then if you deem him not ready or blah, 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 the injury's too much, then let him go. And goodness knows, I have no good answer for that. Only people that can answer that reside in 1265 Lombardi, and they made the call. So as a fan, I'm okay. I don't get it, but I'm going to ride with Ted because Ted's made more good calls than bad. As someone who eats, sleeps, and breathes football, it's just really curious, and I just got to think there's a little bit more going on behind the scenes than we've been allowed to see or allowed to know. Obviously, he's running with at outside linebacker for the Vikings. That was reported today. He's at the Will, they're 4-3. I tell you what, if he's healthy enough to play, he racks up 110 tackles like he could in that defense. Ted's going to have a little bit of a little explaining to do.
If I can just piggyback off that really quick, Aaron, I agree with you. That was a good or bad decision. The one thing I'm really interested in, though, if you look back, and I understand A.J. Hawk's been extremely durable, Brad Jones has been durable in his own time playing the amount of snaps he has, but this has to say a lot about what they think of those backups because I think there's a lot of question marks there. They've had a lot of inside linebackers go down here the last 3-4 years, and right now you have Jamari Lattimore as the top backup. You can also say Terrell Manning. I obviously wrote about him, but when Brad Jones missed practice in OTAs, it was Jamari Lattimore going in there, another converted outside linebacker. Those guys are going to have to be ready to step up because although both of those guys are been healthy, it's only going to take one injury for them to get really, really young. Lattimore had 8 snaps defensively last year, and that's really their only backup snap so far. So it'll be interesting to watch.
Let's turn our attention to the defensive backs, the secondary in Green Bay. Wes, cornerback is a deep group. You've got Tremont Williams. You've got Casey Hayward. You've got Sam Shields. You've got Devon House. And the question is, I think, how do you divvy up playing time for all these guys that, conceivably all deserve to be out there, but there's only so many spots on the field?
Absolutely. And then you also have to include Jerron McMillan, playing as a dime cornerback last year. I mean, that took even more snaps away. It's a luxury the Packers have right now. And I know when we talked to Joe Witt about it, originally he said all those jobs are up for grabs. He kind of tempered that back during the draft saying, well, that's typically the way I approach things. I still have to think, if Sam Shields shows up and can prove that he on Tremont Williams, and as great as Tremont is, tremendous guy in the locker room, one of my favorites to talk to, he is 30 years old now, and he's going to have to prove that he can bounce back. Maybe he'll never be that shutdown, lockdown quarterback that he was a few years ago, but he needs to prove that he's better than those two guys. I think Devon House offers them a lot. Assuming Devon House is going to be healthy, as he suggested he would be for camp, I think he offers them a lot of depth. I think Micah Hyde's an interesting one, too, to factor in that equation. They also have some bodies there. James Nixon, he's kind of like a Sam Shields. He never really played the position until his senior year of college, still learning the ways of doing it. And obviously, in camp, Joe Witt was very high on him as well. So You factor all those guys in together, I think it's the deepest group on the team, and it's going to be interesting to see exactly what three, four guys really come out of that and come in being on the opening roster when they go back to San Francisco, because they certainly aren't going to have Jared Bush starting outside of barring some big injuries.
Yeah, that experiment lasted all of one games last year. But Aaron, the safety position, Morgan Burnett, he's got one spot locked up. The other spot is up for grabs between Jaron McMillan, between MD Jennings. What's going to happen there?
They're gonna trade for somebody? No. Yeah, if I gotta make a choice right now, and just this is completely based off of last year's film, I gotta think it's McMillan, just because I just think he's a more complete player. I know Jennings is probably the favorite, and I know he's probably,
He
I
is?
guess, a little more comfortable. I is he? I don't
I'd
know.
agree. I'd agree. Yeah.
I wouldn't.
I'm just guessing here.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's just you gotta think he's maybe a little bit more familiar with the defense, but it's a real coin toss, and I have to say I'm still kind of shocked that they didn't draft a safety this year, because
Absolutely.
you
Yeah.
think you look at the depth in the safety class this year. I thought it was a no-brainer that they would address it, but they didn't, and here we go. It's gonna be McMillan or Jennings, and I think both of them are pretty pedestrian players. And I know the safety isn't the most important position, quote unquote. When you look at the draft and when you look at traditionally how teams have spent money, the teams don't like to pay safeties a lot of money. They don't like to draft safeties high. But I think this was the year you needed to upgrade that position, and Ted just let it ride. So I'm going to say McMillan now, and I'll probably be wrong. It'll be Jennings. And here's a news flash. I don't think it much matters. I think they're both kind of the same player. And I mean, Morgan Burnett, for all the good parts of Burnett, and I know he played every snap last year, and he's pretty sound in the scheme. He doesn't seem to be a playmaker, and maybe this is the year he turns it on. But safety is pretty pedestrian right now for the Packers.
I wish you guys could have been with me at Lambeau when we were going through the draft, because I think I was telling everybody, okay, well, this is the round. This is the round that
This is
drafts a
it, right?
safety.
Oh, we were doing
First
the oh.
round, second round, third round, fourth.
Yeah.
It's the eighth round of the draft, and everyone's left, and I'm still sitting there saying, hey, they should draft a safety.
There's an undrafted safety. It's still out there. I know. We were doing at Bleacher Report. We did a live draft show where we broke down every pick, and
Right.
every time the Packers came up, I'm like, okay, this is it. Who's the safety on the board? And they took another freaking running back at the draft. So I don't know. Who
What do
knows?
we know, right?
Yeah, over the
Nothing.
course of 7 rounds and 11 picks, you would have thought at some point they'd grab a safety. And it surprised me, even when the draft ended, they didn't go out and sign one of the top safeties out there. They go and sign the kid from Illinois State who fails his physical, and now they're stuck
Yeah,
with the
wait, what are we
30th
talking
and
about?
40th safety.
They just signed Ryan McMahon,
It's
didn't they?
over. There's the man.
Done.
Yeah.
That's it. That's my answer.
Sacramento State represent.
Ryan
He
McMahon for
was
the
a
house.
USC transfer, as I learned. So we'll keep an eye coming from the big school. Let's wrap up the show here with special teams. Wes, Mason Crosby has one of the worst seasons for a kicker in recent NFL history. The Packers bring in some competition. Giorgio Tavecchio, the Italian native, at least. Does Giorgio Tavecchio actually stand a chance to supplant Crosby this year?
If Crosby has a 63.6% field goal percentage in the preseason, he definitely does. But the onus is going to be on Crosby. If Crosby kicks well in the preseason, it's going to be his job. The fact of the matter is that the Packers have a lot invested in him. I think if this is off the top of my head, but I think if they cut him before the end of camp, I think they are going to be taking a $1.8 million hit against the cap the next 3 years. So there's plenty of reasons to keep him. That being said, Giorgio has a leg. Don't count this kid out. He made a 51-yard field goal, albeit in the Hudson Center, but and it would have been good from 60. And he does have this isn't just some camp body. The Packers liked him. The scouts liked him. They would have had a chance after the draft to go and get another guy if they wanted to and kick him to the curb. They didn't do that. He's here for the long run. But if you look at it, Crosby, it is his job to lose. And if he can come into camp the way he finished last season, he's still going to be employed by the Green Bay Packers.
Aaron, in the other special teams, and now that Tom Crabtree departed, who's going to be the left guard on the punt team? No, I'm just kidding. But talking about some other
I love it. I love
special
it.
teams
Hey man,
topics.
I would not be surprised at that question. I will honestly say I have no freaking idea, but I wouldn't be wait, on cheeseheadtv.com, no position goes unturned.
Fantastic.
I think
Love
we have found a more pertinent special teams question, and that is Randall Cobb going to be taken off returns this year?
I certainly hope so. I understood the kind of cry from the masses last year, but I also understood why Mike kept him back there, and I think that was proven out by the horrible special teams gaffe in the playoffs. You just don't mess with it in the middle of the season. When you
Right.
mess with it is right now. And I think, you know, Jeremy Ross et al. Will have every opportunity to win that return job. And yeah, I think the Packers are probably hoping against hope that they find someone who can do it so that they don't put Randall Cobb back there and just, you know, keep him open to injury because, as you know, it kind of proved out, yeah, he did get hurt on a return last year against Tennessee and missed that Week 17 game against the Vikings, a really important game that determined that they would, you know, go a certain path in the playoffs rather than locking up home field. So, yeah, it's you know, I hope he's taken off because I hope someone steps up and kind of earns and takes that mantle, so to speak.
Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us here this evening at Cheesehead TV as we kind of experiment with Google Plus for providing us with a video
Experiment. That's a good
experiment
word
here
for it.
today. But thank you, Aaron Nagler. Thank you, Wes Hodkowitz, for joining us today. We'll see you later, everybody, folks. 8:20 a.m. tomorrow morning. Training camp starts at Reinicke Field. We'll see you later, everyone. See ya.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See
Have a
you
good
guys.
night.